All right, I think it's almost time, so we're going to go ahead and get started. And as people walk in, I'll give them a paper. That paper that I gave you is really just to kind of, I felt like as we were like ending this class, because this is the last day of this class, you don't have to do it now. It's more so for you to take home and kind of figure out what your spiritual gifts are and see how you can maybe find something to do in the church with your spiritual gift. Like I said, this is the last class, so I just want it more so for people to be able to take them home and kind of get an idea of maybe where they could start serving. To get started, I'm going to tell a little bit about myself. My name is Brianna Turpin. My husband and I moved here about 6 years ago from Louisiana. We moved specifically so I could go to ETSU to get my doctorate of audiology. So I graduated in 2023. So technically, I am a doctor, but I do not feel qualified to teach you today. Pastor has thrown that around a lot, and I do not think that my doctorate gives me any kind of accreditation in this setting. So, like I said, I grew up in South Louisiana. I went to the same church for about 10 years. I started going when I was about 12. I was at that church until we moved in 2019. I basically raised myself in church. My mom did not bring me. I found a ride. Whenever I got the Holy Ghost, I decided then that I was going to serve God in whatever capacity I could. And so I was the little girl at church that was doing everything. Sunday school teacher, hostess, youth leader. We fundraise it. We coordinated fundraising for a long time. I did sign team, Bible quizzing coaching. If you can think about it, or if you name it, I probably did it. It's just what I did to stay plugged in the church. And when we moved here, I found every excuse to not do anything. So when we moved here, I was in doctorate school. I was too busy. I didn't have time. Then we had babies and I didn't have time. And really at the end of the day, it really was just because I was super uncomfortable and I was really scared and it was all very new. So I just used every excuse I could to not do anything. So this year I kind of changed my mind. I made my mind up that I didn't want to do that anymore. So back in January, we had a ladies' night where we made prayer journals. And in the prayer journals, we asked all the ladies to write down 25 things we wanted God to do in 2025. That night, I wrote down several things, but I'm going to share three today. I wrote down that three things. I wanted God to grow me in my leadership role at church. I wanted him to remove fear around serving in the church. And I wanted to rediscover my calling. That's three of the several things I wrote down that night. Not even 10 minutes. I wish it was. It's just, you can't deny God sometimes. Not even 10 minutes after I wrote those things down, I went to go lay down in bed and Pastor had texted me to teach this class. God was using Pastor and God was answering my prayers at the same time. So that's how I'm here today. I'm here because Pastor asked me to. The door opened after I prayed for three very specific things in my life to happen, and here I am. So a lot of what I'm going to say today is not just for you. It's also something that I really also have to hear. So today we're going to talk about recognizing and embracing your passion and calling. The goals of today's class is to understand the biblical foundation for God-given passions and callings. We're going to learn how to recognize God's voice in our desires and burdens. We're also going to identify personal passions that align with kingdom work, and we want to discover how to embrace and walk in our callings with faith and action. So, three scriptures for today. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there are three scriptures that we're going to kind of reference throughout the day, throughout the lesson. So the first thing is what is passion? Passion is a strong God-given burden or desire to serve in any specific area of life or ministry. And then how do our passion and calling work together? There are three things. God plants passion in our hearts. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, when we delight in the Lord, he aligns our desires with his will. And two, passion leads to a purpose. God gives us passion for something because he has equipped us for it. Pastor talked a lot about that last week, and about being equipped. And three, passion must be spirit-led. So not all strong desires are from God. We must seek prayer and confirmation when we have a passion about something to see if that's something God wants us to do. So to recognize your call, I'm probably going to go through this really fast. So if we have questions at the end, we'll probably have time. recognizing your calling first, a deep burden for a specific need. So you will feel a strong pull towards a group of people, ministry, or cause. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it talks about Moses and how he had a burden for the before Israel, before he was ever called. So those scriptures specifically talk about when the Egyptian was beating the Hebrew and Moses saw it, and then Moses struck down the Egyptian. That was God putting a passion or a burden for the Israelites in his heart. Second thing, you are gifted in that area. So that's kind of why I gave you the spiritual gifts survey. When you have a passion or calling for something, God will gift you in that calling. And so God equips those who he calls. I'm behind a little bit. Third thing, people recognize and confirm it in you. So whenever you're walking in your calling, your mentors, your people that are around you will affirm your calling. You will have people that are telling you that you're in God's will. Kind of like with what Pastor did with me. He didn't know. I never got a chance to tell Pastor what I had wrote in my prayer journal that night. But he was walking in his calling letting God use him to help me open this door. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbyter. Oh, I didn't look at that word first. Fourth thing is that doors will begin to open. When you're in your calling, when you're doing what God has called you to do, he will open doors for you to step into. And fifth thing, you will feel joy and fulfillment when you're serving. So when you're in your calling, there will be peace. And God will give you, you know, peace in what you're doing, and you will feel confident, and he will give you the boldness that you need. I am going to ask you right now on the back of your paper, to just write down, this will kind of help too before you do your spiritual gift survey. I want everybody to kind of stop and think about three things that they're burdened for. And it will kind of help once you take your survey, then you can kind of see if your burdens align with your gifts also. So I'll give everybody a minute to just do that. All right. So the next couple of things we're going to talk about are overcoming fear and doubt in your calling. This specifically right here is for me. So if it doesn't apply to you, you know, turn your ears off, I guess. So biblical examples first. So I'm going to talk about three people. The first one being Moses. He felt unqualified. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, I'm going to read from the NLT version. It says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh God, I am not very good with words. I've never been. And I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. So, to be so bold and just tell God, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And God speaks so plainly to him is very powerful. And Moses did a lot of really cool things. So God definitely used him, even though he felt unqualified. Another one is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:6-7, again, out of the NLT version. He said, "O sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak for you. I am too young." The Lord replied, "Don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you." He, Jeremiah, in these scriptures, pleaded with God that he was not old enough, that he felt unqualified. Again, he felt unqualified, but God decided to use him anyway. And then Gideon, Judges 6:15-16. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said unto him, "I will be with you, and I will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." So in these scriptures, Gideon is telling him, "I am too weak to do this. I am not strong enough." And God shows him that he's a mighty man of valor. Okay, so how do we overcome our fear and hesitation? First, we need to trust in God's strength. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ." Secondly, we need to pray for boldness. The early church in Acts 4:29-31 prayed for boldness and God moved. Those scriptures, I'm going to paraphrase, said that when they prayed for boldness, the whole place shook. And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. God did exactly what they prayed for him to do. Thirdly, we need to step out in faith. So you don't need to wait to feel ready. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." So God told Abraham to go, and he just went. And then fourthly, you need to surround yourself with encouragers. So find a mentor, find a leader that can help you grow. There's lots of places in the church to connect. We have ladies ministry. We have men's ministry. There are plenty of people for you to reach out to if you feel like you need somebody to help you reach your goals in your relationship with Christ and walk in your calling. So just look and see where you can do that. Another thing to stop and think about right here are, what are some things that have kept you from embracing your calling? So what fears, what hesitations have you had that make you not want to move forward or walk in the calling God has for you? I said a little bit earlier, I was too scared, which is kind of ironic because when we decided to move, I kept telling my husband, I was like, "It's okay. We're going to be out of our comfort zone. God's going to use us. We're going to grow." And then I was like, "Actually, I'm good." So, it's uncomfortable. Walking in your calling is never going to be rainbows and roses. You're always going to have something that happens that makes you doubt what you're doing or doubt what God's calling you to do. But whenever you are praying for boldness and you're trusting in God's strength for you, then you can do it. God wouldn't let you fall and leave you down there. So, how can we walk in our calling daily? There are a couple of things. So we can seek God's guidance. James 1:5, if we pray and fast for direction, he will give us actually, it says it right here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So seek him daily, and he will help you discover where you need to be and what you need to be doing in the church. Number two, we're going to take small steps of faith. So don't wait for everything to be perfect. Start where you are. Starting a Bible quizzing team with a 3-month old. Actually, I'm sorry. She was 1 month old whenever we started our Bible quizzing teams. Not ideal. Not ideal at all. We travel every month. We travel at least 4 hours every month. We're at practice once a week, if not more than that, depending on if we have a tournament. Not to mention, my daughter had a medical condition and she was in the hospital 2 weeks after she was born. She's fine now, but every month we went and it was not ideal for us. It was not. And I remember we had been saying, we're going to do a Bible quizzing team after I graduate. We're going to do a Bible quizzing team after I graduate, because my program was pretty intense. And then before I graduated, I found out I was pregnant and I was like, oh no. She was due in December and we were starting tournaments in January. But God had put that calling in my life, and I had been telling families, I had been telling kids, like, we're going to make this happen. And I did. It wasn't easy. There were a lot of car rides where everybody in the car was crying. She does not like the car seat. But we did it. And I'm really glad that we pushed through it. We have discovered that it wasn't the perfect timing. And I was really convicted when I found out I was pregnant. We had already told Pastor, and he had got up and preached a message. And he was talking about learning the word of God. And he said something. He was like, we're going to have a Bible quizzing team. And then immediately he was like, well, I hope we're going to have a Bible quizzing team, because he knew that we had just found out we were pregnant and due around the time that we would start. And that service, I was convicted. I was like, nope, we've already been saying we're doing this. We're going to do it, even though it's not the perfect time for us to start. Third thing is you want to stay rooted in the word. Scripture will give you strength, and it will also confirm your calling. So finding small times in the day to just connect with the word of God and see what God's saying, see what his word is saying. Memorize scriptures from whenever you're doubting yourself. Have scriptures in your back pocket to pull you out whenever you don't feel like you're capable. Those things will help you. Another thing that I would recommend is, if you're struggling in finding time daily to get into the word, do not let the enemy discourage you, because it's easy to say, I'm going to read every day, and then you miss a day, and then you'd be like, well, actually, I already missed a day, so I'm not going to do it again, because that's the enemy telling you, you don't need to do this. You're too busy. You have too much going on, so don't let the enemy stop you, because he does not want you to be walking in your calling. Fourthly is, be willing to serve in any capacity. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. This is KJV version. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. So this is really anything. I couldn't tell Pastor no when he asked me to do this. So anything that you can find or do, or that you think that you can help in the church with. I remember being 14, 15, and I had my youth pastor's wife called me and said, hey, I'm going up to the church to help to clean. Do you want to come help me? Absolutely. And those would be some of the most fun times, serving in any capacity. I was cleaning toilets that night. I remember that night. We ran back and forth down the hallway. We had good conversation. And any way to serve in the kingdom, God will honor that. So do what you can, and God will honor that. And the last thing is to allow God to develop you. So growth comes with challenges. So when you're challenged, God is shaping you. When things happen, when you're walking in your calling, when you're a leader, there's bound to be somebody that doesn't like that, like what you said, or there's always going to be somebody or something that comes against you when you're walking in your calling, and you just have to allow God to use those things to develop you as a, to be a stronger leader. The more challenges, like I said, the more growth. I didn't think it was going to take very long. So, but that's all I have. I had originally, when Pastor and I spoke, we had emailed back and forth several times. He was actually supposed to talk about what I talked about today, and I was supposed to talk about what he talked about last week. But I think it really worked out the way that it worked out, because Pastor needed to talk about what we spoke about last week, about the gifts, what the gifts are. But I did want to make sure that everybody had a survey to take home with them to be able to kind of hone in and see what your spiritual gifts are. Where are your giftings? That way you can find something in the church to help you get connected and find your calling. Are there any questions?
No.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment that I love that you talked about passion, because I think that the connection between passion and purpose is so crucial. And I think that's often I give a couple of ways that they're connected, and maybe this will speak to somebody, I don't know. But I think sometimes people think that passion is something that's reserved for just being passionate about, you know, souls and that kind of thing. But we teach this in our my CLC class, that God can take the things you're passionate about that seem completely non-spiritual and turn them into a ministry. They can turn them into something as a way, our life groups are kind of tailored around that concept of taking your passions in life and turning them into some sort of purpose in ministry. But then also the idea of, you know, being passionate about something. I have seen people be so passionate about a thing and think that that's the only thing they can be in ministry, you know, regarding. I can remember a friend who was very passionate about missions, and her thought was, I need to get you the mission field. I need to get the passion field. And when I would approach her about being involved with things at our church, she would kind of hold back and say, well, I'm trying to get to this goal. And I would say, well, God has you here right now, and there are things to be done here. And those, believe it or not, those things that you do here may impact the way you serve in the future. Yeah. Those small things, like what you're regarding, you know, you're talking about your past when you were younger. All those things built you into the person that you are, into the minister that you are now, into the, you know, what you do now. And then the third thing is, sometimes getting in, we talked about purpose leading to passion. I think sometimes purpose can lead to passion. He said, yeah, passion leads to purpose is what you said. And I think sometimes purpose can lead to passion. So the opposite, meaning I've been involved in things before where I wasn't really passionate about. But when I began to understand the purpose of why we were doing it, when I understood the purpose of the ministry, it completely changed my mindset. And I became very passionate about it because I understood my purpose in that regard. So
yes,
you know, depending on where you're at, maybe that's something there spoke to you in a different way because of where you're at, how you're viewing purpose and passion and everything. But it is very interconnected.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I also, Dallas and I, my husband and I, have both done missions work. Growing up, I was very passionate about missions work, and I did. We both got to go on AYC trips. We both got to walk in our passion, but that's not our calling. And so in our family, even though we're not on a missions field, and I've always said, if we can't walk in our calling here, we cannot walk in our calling on a missions field. It's just not how it works. Sometimes your missions field is exactly where you are. But to feed that passion, we still love missions. We're still passionate about missions. We're just not the ones called to be missionaries. So what do? We give to missions. Any chance we can, we give to missions, because that is how we still show that we're passionate about that. But we need somebody else to go walk in their calling in that. Just another thing, I'm very passionate about my job. I love my job. For those of you that don't know what an audiologist is, I can diagnose and treat hearing loss. So if you need hearing aids, I'm the person you see. I also, specifically in my job, I also do a lot of like for people that are dizzy, I do dizziness testing and that kind of thing. But every day I don't look at my job as just my job to like help some, I mean, obviously helping somebody hear is really cool, that I love that. But every day I go to work, I'm also witnessing to them. I'm also showing them my character. And so I let God use me at work, just like I let him use me at the church. And anytime that we can, if I can help somebody that's having issues with their hearing aids, I've seen a lot of audiologists not like that. Like, they're like, if I can't bill you for it, I don't want to have a conversation with you about, and that's not my mindset at all. There was a small moment when we were talking about doing, what is it, nursing home ministry. And I would love to do this eventually. We haven't gotten off the ground yet. And as soon as that becomes available, I'm going to donate my talents. Not everybody can say they have a doctorate in audiology. Not everybody has the skills that, I'm not like tooting my own horn, but like, not everybody has those skills. So guess what? I will make sure I have tubings to change on a hearing aid. I will troubleshoot if I need to, as long as I'm allowed to. That is just how I can bring my passion for what I do at work into ministry too. So it doesn't always have to be, I don't know where I was going with that. Doesn't always have to be only in the church. And I agree with you. That's kind of where like you, your purpose can lead to passion. So that's kind of where I was going with that part. But any other questions? No? Any comments? No? Okay. We do have one more paper. Oh, yes?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's really good that you're talking about, like, you know, our purpose in the church is beyond the four walls, because, like, the four walls isn't the church. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, our passions and our talents and, you know, trying to be Christ-like goes so far beyond just, you know, ushering, cleaning a toilet. And those are all great things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's very important. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because, you know, like, you know, donating what you have as an individual, you know, is very important, like, out in the world, because, you know, we're only here, you know, Sundays, Wednesdays, and for weekly events. And
right.
It's a group. We're out there most of the time, and I'd say that's really important.
Exactly.
Bring out.
I agree.
Really glad you mentioned that.
Thank you.